morning, I ask that you would turn in God's holy word to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 as we continue our study in the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20. This morning we will begin in verses 8 through 11, and then we will springboard from there to other verses. Maybe not as much turning as we've done recently, but still, I hope you brought your turning thumbs with you this day. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. This is the word of the Lord Almighty. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let us pray. Lord, as we just sang, all of your word is truth. We ask that your Spirit would make this portion of your word precious to our minds and to our hearts, that we may take delight in what your word says to us, and that we may delight in your Spirit and how you change us, though it may not be pleasant, though it may be hurtful at times. Lord, it is worth it to endure and go through for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, to share in his sufferings, and to be conformed to his image. And we ask all of this through his name. Amen. Several months before the pandemic, I was talking with a pastor friend of mine from another denomination. And we were talking about our different churches. And I mentioned that we have a Sunday evening service. And when I mentioned that, he began to shake his head. He's like, "Man, what are you doing having a Sunday evening service? Don't you know that those things have gone the way of the dinosaurs?" Obviously, his church does not have a Sunday evening service. And his attitude toward a Sunday evening service was that it's a relic of a bygone day. It's not really important to have a Sunday evening service. And I dare say that many Christians have such an attitude today. There's actually a record in the New Testament of an evening worship service. It's found in Acts chapter 20. It's where Paul ends up going so long that he preaches past midnight. And poor Eutychus falls out of the window because he could not keep his eyes open. Perhaps you remember that from our sermon series through the book of Acts. Perhaps that's why people don't like the evening service. They're afraid that their pastor will keep them out till midnight. This morning, I want to demonstrate that the biblical pattern for Sabbath observance, as well as the testimony from church history, shows us that proper Sabbath observance involves both morning and evening corporate worship. Morning and evening corporate worship. And so the title of our sermon this morning is The Biblical Pattern for Sabbath Observance. And the first question we have to ask ourselves, and this may seem like a silly question to you, but it's really important, is what constitutes a day? What makes up a day? We think of days as 24 hours, right? That's how we think of our days. And when it comes to the days of creation, you have different interpretations, but I believe in a literal 6-day, 24-hour day, 6 days of creation. I believe in a young earth, not an old earth. And I believe that those days correspond to our days. But biblically speaking, that's not the way that a day is conceived in Scripture. In Genesis chapter 1, we find the phrase repeated over and over, evening and morning. It's used 6 times to refer to each day. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And there was evening, and there was morning the second day, and so forth and so on through all 6 days. Each day was considered to have 2 components to it, an evening and a morning. That's what made a day in the Jewish reckoning, an evening and a morning. And this is why in the Old Testament, the Jews began the days in the evening. Their days ran from evening to evening. Now, this is instructive for us because Moses, who wrote the book of Genesis, also wrote the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy, where we find the Sabbath commandment is indeed all 10 of the commandments. Both of these books, Exodus and Deuteronomy, call the Sabbath a day. It's an entire day. And so the expectation that the original readers would have in their minds with that would be that, oh, this is an evening and this is a morning. There's two parts to this day. Well, in our case, in light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who rose again in the morning, not only has the day of the Sabbath changed from Saturday to Sunday, because that's the day in which the new creation began, but our reckoning has changed, but the two components have still remained the same. We don't reckon evening to morning. What do? We reckon morning to evening, right? But those same components are still there, morning to evening. So our reckoning of the days may have shifted from the Jewish reckoning, but there's still that morning and evening pattern that makes up a day. When you observe morning and evening on the Sabbath, that constitutes remembering the Sabbath day to make it holy. Now, when it comes to worship, we see this same pattern throughout the Old Testament. We see that Sabbath worship was a day comprised of morning and evening. It's found throughout the Old Testament. In Leviticus chapter 6, when Aaron is anointed as the first high priest over the people of Israel, he and his sons were all required to offer half of their sacrifices in the morning, and the other half that the Lord required of them, they offered in the evening. And on the high day of atonement, that one day in the year where the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies to atone for the sins of the people, it was also called a day of solemn rest to the Lord. It was a Sabbath day. The day of atonement was also a Sabbath day. And Leviticus chapter 23, verse 32 says, "You will keep the Sabbath from evening to evening." In other words, the Sabbath day was comprised of an evening and a morning. The day of atonement was a day of evening to morning. And then in Leviticus chapter 24, Aaron was to arrange the oil for the lampstand from evening to morning. This oil in the lamp to keep it going, it lighted up the tabernacle and kept it from being dark, and it represented the light of the Lord and his glory and his majesty. And it burned for an entire day from evening until the next evening. And then they would refill it with oil to keep the light burning. And the same thing can be said of the daily sacrifice in the Old Testament as well. According to Numbers chapter 28, the daily animal sacrifice was divided into half, with half of the sacrifice being offered in the morning and half of the sacrifice being offered in the evening. Now, in the New Testament, of course, Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. He is our great high priest. But we also offer up sacrifices. Hebrews 13:15 exhorts us, saying, quote, "Through Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name." Now, the book of Hebrews is a sermon being preached to the corporate gathering of God's people. And it says, let us corporately offer up the sacrifice of praise. And so, to these Jewish congregation members, from this Jewish preacher, when they hear the word sacrifice, they would have in their minds morning and evening. And so he exhorts them to offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. In fact, in Psalm 141, verse 2, David says, "Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." Let my evening worship, let the corporate evening worship of your people be counted as the evening sacrifice. And so we too have a sacrifice that we bring. It's not an animal sacrifice to atone for sins. Jesus has taken care of that. He has made full and complete atonement for your sins and mine. and for all who believe upon him by faith alone. But we bring a sacrifice of praising his name. And that would constitute morning and evening praise. Morning and evening sacrifice. Now turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 92. Psalm chapter 92. Notice the title that is given to this psalm. The title says, a psalm, a song for the Sabbath. Now, those psalm titles were not added by modern translation committees. These psalm titles are very old. Indeed, in the Hebrew Old Testament, the psalm titles are considered the first verse. They're verse number one. And so when you're looking at English versification of the psalms and Hebrew versification of the psalms, that's why they don't line up. Because we don't have the titles as the first verse, but in the Hebrew Old Testament, they do. And so this is a psalm for the Sabbath. And look at what it says in verse 2. It's good to give thanks to the Lord, to declare your steadfast love when? In the morning. And your faithfulness is good to declare when? By night. In this Psalm of the Sabbath, when God's people would be gathered at temple worship or synagogue worship, they're talking about praising God corporately together in the morning and in the evening. It's the pattern for worship on the Sabbath. And look what this psalm talks about. It talks about praising God. Verse 3 talks about praising him with music. To the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. And what are they doing? They're extolling the steadfast love, the covenant faithfulness of God. They're singing praises to his name, according to verse 1. They're rejoicing in the work of his hands, according to verse 4. These are the elements of corporate worship. Prayer, praise, psalms and hymns, and declaring the works of God. The psalmist is talking about participating and leading the congregation in these elements, both morning and evening. Now turn over to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 22 through 23. That's the last chapter of Isaiah, so if you go to Jeremiah, just turn back to the beginning of Jeremiah and you'll be at the end of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 22 and 23. The Lord says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord." In the context of this passage, if you read that whole chapter, the Lord is talking about the future inclusion of Gentiles into the people of God, into the worship of God. And that worship is going to extend into the new heavens and the new earth. And the point that's being made is this: the worship of God in the New Testament and the worship of God in the new heavens and the new earth is described as a Sabbath. And it's described as a weekly Sabbath, from new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath, from 1 week to the next week. On the day of the Sabbath, God's people will gather to worship him. The Sabbath is a day for worshiping God, and it's using Old Testament language to describe what New Testament worship will look like, indeed what worship will look like in the new heavens and the new earth. And it's not just a morning, and it's not just an evening. It's both. It's the Lord's day, as I've said previously, not the Lord's morning and not the Lord's evening. Now, of course, there's going to be exceptions to this. If somebody falls into those works of necessity and mercy that we talked about, nurses and doctors and first responders, you may only be able to come to one service. You may only be able to get to the morning service or only able to get to the evening service. And another practical reason for the evening service is that if it's a first responder who's a believer and they have to work during the day and the church has no evening service, where are they going to go to worship? That would be a practical consideration. But when it says that the worship in the New Testament and extending into the new heavens and new earth is described as a Sabbath, the Jewish thinker and reader would be saying, oh, that's morning and evening, because it's a day. Finally, let's turn back to Nehemiah chapter 13. It's between Ezra and the book of Esther. Nehemiah chapter 13. I've referenced this in a prior sermon on the Sabbath. We'll begin at verse 19. Nehemiah describes the steps that he takes to ensure that the people of God properly observe the Sabbath. As soon as it began to grow dark at the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I commanded that the doors should be shut and gave orders that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath, that is, the next evening. So the gates were shut from evening all through the morning until the next evening arrived, and I stationed some of my servants at the gates that no load might be brought in on the Sabbath day. And so from evening all the way through the next evening, the gates to Jerusalem were shut so that people could worship and not engage in the buying and selling of food and other items. Notice that Nehemiah does not open the gates halfway through the day and say, okay, partial observance is enough to satisfy the worship of God on the Sabbath. No, it was the entire day was guarded. The people of God were closed off and guarded and protected so that they could enjoy their rest from their work and enjoy worshiping God. And so we see that a day comprises both morning and evening as components of the day, and that the pattern of sacrifices in the Old Testament was morning and evening. The Sabbath psalm talks about congregational worship in the morning and evening, and Nehemiah guarded the morning and the evening of the Sabbath. Now we need to understand God's word and worship as means of grace. God's word and worship as means of grace. To put it another way, God's word and worship is food for our souls. In their wandering in the wilderness, the Lord provided food for the Israelites in both the morning as well as the evening. Exodus 16 talks about that, and God says, I provided you meat in the morning with quail, and I provide you meat in the evening with the quail and manna in the morning. He provided them morning food and evening food. God fed his people in the wilderness both day and night. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, as well as the author of Hebrews in chapters 3 through 4, they equate you and me as New Testament believers as being in the wilderness spiritually. You and I are like the Israelites who are wandering in the wilderness. They're journeying toward the promised land. You and I are journeying toward the new heavens and the new earth. And we're surrounded by all sorts of temptations. We're surrounded by evil. We're surrounded by people who oppose the people of God, just like various groups oppose the Israelites in their journeying in the wilderness. How does God feed us in this spiritual wilderness that we call the Christian life? He feeds us with his word. He feeds us in worship. He feeds us through the ordinary means of grace, word, sacrament, and prayer, on the Lord's day, both morning and evening. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We're invited to taste and see that the Lord is good, that he and his word are food for us to be taken in spiritually. Like newborn babes, long for the pure spiritual milk that you may grow up into salvation, according to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 2, long for the milk of the word that you may become mature in Christ. God's word and worship is food for our souls. This is what this gathering is food and spiritual nourishment for you and for me. When we ignore the opportunity to gather with God's people on Sunday morning and or Sunday evening, we are starving our soul. We're starving our soul. Paul and the author of Hebrews both chastise the church for their lack of spiritual maturity. Paul says he fed the Corinthians milk instead of solid food because they were not ready for it. And how were they not ready for it? They were acting like immature Christians. I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. There was division in the church. They're proud. They're arrogant. They're not repenting of their sins. They're tolerating sin within the congregation. And Paul chastises them for their immaturity. He says, you weren't ready for the meat of God's word, and so I had to give you milk. Like you give milk to a baby who doesn't have teeth and is not ready to chew a good steak. Hebrews 5 says that the congregation ought to be teachers, and yet they still need the milk of basic Christian instruction. And the preacher goes on to say in Hebrews that any Christian who lives on milk alone is unskilled in the word of God and spiritually is still a child rather than a mature adult. The word of God is our spiritual food. Worship is a means of grace to help us grow into maturity, to help us to be satisfied in and delight ourselves in the Lord. His word is sweeter than honey on our lips. Now turn back to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 56, verses 1 through 7. Talks about the blessedness of the Sabbath. Beginning in verse 1 of Isaiah 56. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness. For soon my salvation will come and my righteousness be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. In verse 2, the Lord calls those blessed who keeps his Sabbath. And in verses 6 and 7, for those who love the name of the Lord and who serve him, the Lord promises to make them joyful in his house of prayer, in his tabernacle, in his temple, where the people of God corporately gather together to worship. There is great blessing from God. There is great joy imparted to you from God for all those who attend to his word and the corporate worship of his people, to the ordinary means of grace on both Sunday morning as well as Sunday evening. Are we lacking in joy? Are you lacking in joy? Are you struggling in assurance and the promises of God? Perhaps one reason we are is because we have not attended to the evening worship as a means of grace for caring for our souls and for reviving our joy and delight in the Lord. Really, the question for you and for me, and really the question for the American church that's done away with the Sunday evening service is this: am I satisfied with a partial blessing? Am I satisfied with a partial blessing? Are we setting a limit to how much we want to allow God to bless us by ignoring his precepts? Okay, God, I'll let you bless me this much, but no more. I don't have time for any more blessing from you. I don't have any more time to attend to the nurture and care of my soul. I've got other important things to do. So you can bless me a little, but you're going to bless me on my terms. Is it any wonder then that in the words of John Payne, quote, "We have become less mature, more distracted, and increasingly more consumed with earthly comforts and leisure than the glory of God and the health of Christ's church." End quote. God calls you and me. He commands us to grow up into maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do that by attending to the ordinary means of grace. Romans 10, how are people going to call upon the name of the Lord unless they hear the name of the Lord? And how are they going to hear unless there are those who are sent to preach to them the good news? The proclamation of the gospel, the preaching of the word of God, each and every Sunday, morning and evening, diving into the word of God, is the means that he has ordained to draw people, his elect, unto himself. We see it throughout the book of Acts. Proclamation of Jesus Christ and the gospel, and souls are converted. Other souls are hardened as well. The preaching of the word of God, accompanied by his Spirit, is the means of grace that God has ordained to nourish you. It was the gospel that called you and me to Christ through the effectual calling of the Holy Spirit. And now God's word continues to nourish us. We started off on the milk, and Lord willing, we're moving to the meat. And Lord willing, we're wanting to have more and more meat. Lord willing, we want to have more and more filet mignon. And less ramen noodles. I heard an amen. The entire testimony of Scripture is that we should want to delight in the Lord more and more, but the culture of the church at large is moving in the opposite direction by removing the Sunday evening service, which means that there's less preaching, less opportunity for singing hymns and psalms, less prayer, less fellowship with one another and encouraging one another. We are missing out. The church is being impoverished from the means of grace by taking away the evening service from the Lord's Sabbath. This pattern of morning and evening worship is seen throughout church history as well. The 4th century church historian Eusebius writes this, quote, "It is surely no small sign of God's power that throughout the whole world in the churches of God, at the morning rising of the sun and at the evening hours, hymns, praises, and truly divine delights are offered to God. God's delights are indeed the hymns sent up everywhere on earth in his church at the times of morning and evening." And this practice carried throughout the Middle Ages, and the morning service was called Lauds, and the evening service was called Vespers. And then in the Reformation, this was the practice of the Reformation. The afternoon or evening service was typically focused on the catechism and using the catechism as a guide in preaching, because the Reformers wanted the people of God instructed in sound doctrine, sound systematic theology, and to memorize the catechism, because in doing so, they were memorizing what God's word teaches. The Anglican Book of Common Prayer had liturgies for both morning and evening worship. The evening service was actually an issue taken up by the Synod of Dort in the 1600s. It was a Dutch synod. It's the synod where we historically get what's called the Five Points of Calvinism, the TULIP acrostic. It was the Arminians who objected to the evening service. They didn't agree with preaching through the Heidelberg Catechism. They didn't believe in preaching and using the catechism as a guide at all. They rejected it. And the Synod of Dort responded by insisting on the second service. And ministers and elders were to guard the second service. It was so important. They saw the evening service as so important. They said the second service should be held even if, quote, only the minister's own family should be in attendance. That's how important it is. If nobody else comes, let the minister's family come and be instructed and fed upon the word of the Lord. To put it another way, poor attendance at the evening service did not warrant doing away with the evening service. So the modern trend of removing the evening church service, which is taking part not only across denominations, it's affecting our circles as well, Presbyterian and Reformed. Removing the evening church service places a large part of the church outside the stream of church history and outside the pattern of worship that we see going all the way back to the Old Testament, continuing in the New Testament, and continuing after the New Testament in the early church, and all the way up through really modern times until recently. From the Old Testament up until recent times, think about how many millennia that covers. People of God have worshiped together at least two times on the Sabbath. Saturday in the Old Testament, Sunday in the New Testament. So as we bring this little mini-series on the Sabbath within a larger series on the Ten Commandments to a close, I want us to see that it's not a burden. The evening service should not be seen as a burden. It's not a burden to come to corporate worship twice on the Lord's Day. It's a great way to bookend morning and evening. It's a great way to get more fellowship time with one another. It's a great way to have your soul strengthened and encouraged and fed one more time before you're sent out into the world and whatever awaits you in the coming week. Do you want to be ready for battle? Do you want to have half the armor on or the full armor on? Not only that, but the evening service is a great spiritual investment, not only for your own soul, but for the soul of your children, as well as their future. Children who grow up seeing their parents delight in and sanctify the full Lord's Day are more prone to attend to it themselves as they get older, because they have been established in that pattern and that habit. And they have been taught, or maybe they have caught, delighting in the Lord and what a wonderful day it truly is if we observe it according to the Word of God. The primary benefit of this day is to help you and me become spiritually stronger, to come closer to God as we are conformed to God's holiness through Jesus in preparation for eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. On this day, we look back to the cross where we were made new. Our salvation was accomplished. And we look forward to the consummation of all things when our newness is completed and made perfect, never to be ruined. And William Plummer says this, quote, "By restoring the Sabbath as near as possible to its purity in Eden, that is, by the holy observance of all of it, man makes his nearest approach to primitive innocence, that is, the innocence that Adam and Eve had before the fall, as well as to future glory." In addition to that, the Westminster Larger Catechism, question number 121, says that in keeping the Sabbath, we are better enabled to keep all the rest of the commandments. And the implication of that is that if we ignore the Sabbath, if we do not attend to it like we should, we are more apt to break the other commandments. The French atheist and hater of Christianity, Voltaire, said this, quote, "If you want to kill Christianity, you must abolish Sunday," end quote. I'm afraid that the church as a whole has helped Satan in that task. By doing away with the evening service completely, or by replacing it with small cells, cell groups, life groups, whatever you want to call them, that meet on Sunday. They've replaced the corporate gathering with little individualistic groups where there is no preaching of the Word of God. There's teaching, but it's not everybody getting the same teaching. The church has aided the devil in the task of doing away with the Sunday, and in doing away with the Sunday, Voltaire said, "You are doing away with Christianity." You're doing away with an extra opportunity for God to work through his ordinary and ordained means for building up his people and the spread of the gospel and to be encouraged and equipped in the faith. So what is a well-observed Sabbath? Let me quote Robert Godfrey. Go to Sunday morning worship, go to Sunday evening worship, and take a nap in between. That's a Sabbath well observed. If we commit ourselves to doing this, it will not happen overnight, but our soul will gradually be nourished and strengthened and comforted in the Lord, and our satisfaction, our joy, and our delight in him will only increase. And so as it is my prayer that as the restrictions, as the pandemic numbers continue to decline, I look forward to the day when we will restore the evening service here at Trinity Reformed Presbyterian Church. I have missed it, and I am missing it. And I've tried to help us keep that pattern by doing these Sunday evening video teaching series, whether it was interviewing missionaries or watching a variety of teaching series. I've tried to keep us and sustain us in that pattern until we open these doors again on Sunday evening. And if you were coming before the pandemic, let me ask you and encourage you to recommit yourself to coming. Because as we all know, it's easy to grow lazy and apathetic when you get out of a habit, right? We were in the habit of coming together on Sunday evening, and we haven't in quite a long time. And it would be easy to say, well, I'm just going to continue in that pattern. No, let us reestablish the habit of coming back to the Lord's temple on the Lord's day in the evenings. And if you were not coming on Sunday evening before the pandemic, let me encourage you to commit yourself to coming to the Lord's house on Sunday evening. To find joy and love and fellowship with your brothers and sisters. To find more teaching in the Word of God. To find more encouragement from the Lord. And the building up and nurture and feeding of your soul. This is for your spiritual benefit. And it's not a burden on me to do the extra work. I enjoy it. I enjoy preparing it. I enjoy everything about it for your sake. Amen and amen. Let us pray.